Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm experiencing His presence. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Been a great day already. Amen. Well, the Duncans have had their baby. Kelly and Mike are doing well, and so is Priestley Rose. And she had a rough night that night. It was Friday night. And it was all night long. And we just stayed up with Mike, and we were texting back and forth all night long. We were standing on the wall praying for the baby. The baby's heart rate dropped out. Bottomed out, and there was a lot of scare and everything. So we just kept standing on the wall and with Mike and just saying, "Hey, look, listen, this baby's gonna come healed, whole, and ready." And about 8:44 the next morning, she was born. So she's doing well. The mother's doing well. The family's doing well. So God is good. Amen. And I will say this, Jana, you took authority on the bus. There was a decree that was spoken, we're all going to die. But you said, I don't think so. That's not right. This is not going to happen. You know, so in the process of that, that's what authority does. It changes the very atmosphere of what's been set or the scheme by the enemy. So her authority impacted how many children? How many people was on the bus? What was the total number? 14 people. So it changed 14 people's lives because she took authority. It wasn't something in her that says, well, I think I'll take authority. That wasn't the reasoning. It just welled up in her, said, uh-uh, that's not right. I don't think so. That's not going to happen. Yeah. You know, there is that we talked to you about the difference between authority and power. And power is this dunamis, explosive stuff that begins to happen. And that's the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That's the power we get. See, authority is brought to us through relationship and by commission. Yes. Through relationship, by commission. Everybody say, through relationship, by commission. And we have to be, and when we get commissioned, we have to be in carrying the very mission that was originally stated. And that's when our authority works. The church really needs to get the authority back. But in the process of teaching you and learning us all learning how to do that, when we talk about it's being the relationship that we have with God is the vehicle that we attain the commissioning. So you don't get authority to be able to do what you want to do, what I want to do. You get authority to be able to do what God wants to do. What is He saying about this situation? You know, there's a lot of talk sometimes about decree a matter and it'll what? Well, see, here's the thing about it. You just can't decree any matter. That decree, that matter, has to be in line with God's vision. You just can't go out here and start decreeing stuff and just saying this, you know. But see, we do that because we have our own agenda. We should always say, well, you know, Lord, what do you say about this? You know, immediately Jana knew this is not right. This is not what God wants. So she declared a new decree. She declared a new position of authority. One had already been spoken in the bus. We're all going to die. That's all the enemy wants is an agreement with his death, the death that he wants to bring, the tragedy that he wants to bring. But she rose up. Why? How did that happen with her? out of relationship. Out of relationship with her God, with her Father. She knew this is not right. This is not supposed to happen right here. So she spoke it out. She spoke it. Listen, our authority a lot of times gives voice. Listen to this. It gives voice to those who don't have one. So she had about 12 others on that bus that hadn't said anything that we know. I'm sure they're saying something, but they haven't spoken out loud where everybody can see, hear everybody. So her voice of authority was spoken for 13 other people. Even the one that says we're all going to die. That one overruled this one. Why? Because God's authority is always greater. Amen. We have to be a people that's in relationship with God in such a way that as we walk and do our daily business, even if it's around a refrigerator that has an ice maker that doesn't work. Where are they? Where are the Millwoods? Listen, I like that. It sure beats cursing it. There you are. You done prayed over the thing before she did, huh? So she got in agreement with you, and next thing you know, just starts making ice. Does God really care? Yes. Absolutely. Why is that? Because you're a child, and you're His. Do you really care about the things that your children go through and their needs and what makes them happy as well? See, the problem a lot of times is, I really need to get into this. The problem a lot of times is that we, I shouldn't say we, is there are a lot of Christians that believe in the concept of the Bible. God's Word, Jesus is who He is, the Holy Spirit's who He is. You with me? They believe the concept of the Bible. But the problem in that is you don't normally live out concepts. Yeah, I mean, you could ask probably anybody on, you know, anybody, what is this? And they'll say, what? It's the Bible. Even lost people will say, that's the Bible. Who wrote it? God. Most of them will have the concept, but see, the thing is, when we do not believe what He has spoken and said, and we don't act upon what He says, it's just a concept. And it's not something that we live out. We have got to live out. You know, we said something in Wednesday night Bible study, you know, that if this does not become a living document for you, if this does not come alive and be part of your life, you will then become a religious person. If you know anything about the Bible, you'll be religious in what you know, but you won't have life in what you live. Why? Because it's just a concept. It's just a bunch of rules. It's just a bunch of statements. It's just this. It's just that. I know it's God. I know it's God's Word. I know Jesus is. I know that all this. But see, if it's not believable to live, you become religious. How many of you that raised your hand for healing, you believe that you are healed? Yes. How many of you that raised for a deliverance, you've got your deliverance? Amen. See, here's the difference. There is a difference between true and truth. There is a difference in what is true and truth. Here could be a Christian that has that's a man, and he's a Christian, but yet he has a real bad temper. It is true that he has a bad temper. But it isn't the truth. Why is that? The truth is that he is a new creation. The truth is he is a new creature. That's the truth. What's true will hold you in bondage, while truth will make you free. So there is a difference between what is true and what is the truth. Y'all there? There's a lot of things that are true, but it's not the truth. I'll tell you what the truth is, what he says. It's true that she had breast cancer. But the truth is, by his stripes, she's healed. If you only stay with what is true, then you and I will be trapped in a bondage that true holds. But if we see the truth as we really are and as he really says we are, then it makes us freer as we walk. I see you over just rubbing your belly, I'm telling you. When is the baby? 2 weeks? 2 days? I better not today.
2 days.
I might end this sermon real quick. In 2 days. Amen. What's his, her name?
Isabella Joy.
Isabella Joy. Ooh, come on, Isabella Joy.
Come on, Isabella.
Come on, Isabella. Yeah, but come on, Isabella Joy. And then Ashley? Yes? When? 2 months. 2 days? 2 months? Anybody else? I mean, anybody else with child? Let me put it this way. Does anybody want to be with child? Lord, we see those hands in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Bring the gifts forth. Bring them forth. Bring them forth. Make them fertile. Who's laughing? Oh, Bill's back here is laughing. What if you have three? Okay. Listen. So we run into a lot of things that are true, but he wants us to focus on what is the truth. Because you'll have feelings that'll tell you this is true and this is true and this is true. And it may be true, but it won't be the truth concerning and according to God. That thing goes with this concept. See, you either have a concept about the Bible or this is something that you live by the power of the Holy Spirit. That one, when something else comes up that doesn't agree with truth, even though it may be true, you're able to stand against it and say, no, it was true that they're going over this cliff. It was true that their brakes went out. It was spoken that they're all going to die. Had the enemy had his way, that would have been true. But she got up and spoke truth. Well, what are y'all laughing at? So there's some things that we need to understand as we walk in our life in our journey. We just don't have a Bible that is just a concept to us. No, it's Jesus. He is the Word. It's alive. I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at that PowerPoint and I'm like, God help me. What do y'all think? Yeah. I really want to be sensitive to your time. I really do. I want to be sensitive to your time, but I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you know, he really wants to usher us into. See, he doesn't just usher us into the things that are true. He ushers us into truth. Not just some truth, but all truth. Your relationship with God. You better get ready to write this down. I'm a hose pipe hooked up to a fire hydrant. Okay, here we go. Talk about this relationship with God. There's a lot of us that we talk about the concept of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, but yet, and we talk about, yeah, everybody needs a relationship, but what does that relationship look like? What does that relationship look like? It's a personal relationship. You can't get there because I'm born again. You can't get there because Mama is born again. It has to be. See, Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that here in world, that whosoever. World, whosoever. It has to be a personal thing for you and I to become born again. So our relationship has to be personal. If that has never happened to you, then you're not born again. If it's not a personal thing with you, then you're not born again. The next thing is the blood relationship. We have to relate to his blood. Because his blood does what? It cleanses us from all sin. So we have to have a relationship with his blood. Yes? You can't go around here looking at your sins all the time and thinking you got a blood relationship with him. We have to have a cross relationship. We have to be able to die. We have to be able to die to ourselves. He said, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you're going to have to what? Pick up not his cross. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself and follow him. That's the type of relationship. If you said, well, I want more authority, well, you got to be in relationship with him. So there has to be a cross relationship. There has to be a faith relationship. That you're trusting and you have faith in what he says is what? True, even though it's unseen. It's not faith that podium is there. I see it. It's not faith. This doesn't take faith for me to say that podium's there. It takes faith for me to see something that is not physically seen. But see, our walk with God's got to be a faithful relationship. It's got to be a relationship that we walk in faith. It's got to be a word relationship. Everybody say word relationship. Word. See, this thing about word relationship was said, well, that's the Bible. It's God's word. I understand that. But what about it? What do we do with it? See, we need to read it. We need to study. Y'all need to hear this. You need to read it. You need to study. You need to Meditate on it. You with me? You need to. We are so busy in today's culture. You have to intentionally say, I'm going to buy back. I'm going to redeem this time for me and the Lord. You and I are going to have to say, this is my time with God. Now, somebody said, well, God's always with you. Absolutely. But you can't study just walking around. You got to do some research. You got to dig. You got to be able to find out what, you know, God, I want to know more about this. I want to know more about what this verse means. Then you have to meditate on it. You have to think about it. And see, I'm tired of people saying, well, you can't say meditate because the New Age has got that. New Age don't have anything. God used meditate, so I'm going to use it too. He said in Joshua that we should meditate on the Word of God. That's to chew it over. It's like chewing the cud of a cow. It's like, let me chew this thing over. Let me think about it. Let me give this some time to go through this process of me thinking about it. So this is all about the Word. And the other thing we need to do is you need to personalize it. You need to personalize it that, okay, how do I walk this out? And another part of the Word, you need to be able to stand on it. And you need to be able to do what? It's an O word. Obey. You have to obey the Word. All this is just concerning a relationship with God about the Word. This is what you do with the Word of God. But if we think we're going to say, okay, all right, no, last time I opened that was last Sunday. And if we think we're going to have a relationship with Him that's going to usher in authority and give us commissioning, see, it's to the degree that we embrace everything that He says in the fullness of our heart, it's when the authority that we need to be able to respond in that atmosphere, that's when that comes. When our heart and our voice is not aligned with what He said, we have stepped out of the arena of authority. And we will try to use power to make up for it. I know a lot of leaders who don't have authority, but they're using power to be able to try to convince people that they got to do what they say. So when it comes to the Word, we need to have a word relation. That means read, that means study, that means meditate, that means do it, that means personalize it. How many of you know that there is a plan of the enemy to keep you out of this? He has a scheme. What might it be, Pastor? Walmart. I'm not against Walmart, but if you got to go right now, do you have to go right now? I've got to do this. And see, we really need to look at the priorities that we set in our life. What is a priority? This should be a priority. If you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to have a relationship with His Word. Well, that's the reason I come and hear you preach. Well, I'm glad you do, because you get what I get. But that's not getting what you need to get. You need to be in this Word in a way. Prayer relationship. There needs to be a relationship that we pray. The Bible actually says pray without ceasing. That means pray all the time. Just pray. See, I've been praying this morning. While I'm in this service, I've been praying this morning. Have you? Sure you have. A prayer relationship, one that is communicating with God. A lot of times we have a relationship with God that is built out of out of expectancy instead of out of love. A prayer relationship, a spirit relationship has to be of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a Holy Spirit relationship. If you're going to relate to God, He has to be in you. And by the way, because He's in you, that's not the end. That's the beginning. Listen to what He's telling you. Listen to what He's guiding you to do, because He's guiding you into all truth. How many of you know you need a relationship with God that is of the Holy Spirit, that is by the Holy Spirit? How many of you say yes to that? Yes. Why? Because He's going to lead you into places that are great things that is not actually written down, but it won't conflict. It won't be in conflict with the Word, but it'll be something that the Holy Spirit says, I want you to turn, I want you to go, I want you to do this. See, but if you're not in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God through the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get that. Amen. Why? Because you're not looking for it. But yet we want authority. Daily, it's got to be every day. Every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. Look, we have some devotionals back here that we spend about $1,000 a year, I think, something like that, for you to have a devotional that you can get every day. Now, that shouldn't be the only thing that you do, but you ought to read them. They're great. They're absolutely phenomenal. Just a few moments. It's got to be a daily, it's got to be abiding relationship. There's something that you just abide, you're resting in. This relationship is one that you rest in. Has to be a relationship that you worship. It's got to be a worship relationship. Well, I come to church and worship. That's great. Worship should be all the time. You ought to worship God the whole time. Should be a time of worshiping. Church has been good about dissecting some of the things that we actually do. We actually said, okay, worship is over. Now let's take up the offering. Well, they're asking for money. Mm-mm. That's an act of worship.
Amen.
Giving, tithing, offerings, it's an act of worship. Okay, worship is over, now let's go about our business. Nope. Let's leave here and go wherever we need to go as we worship. Y'all want any more or you want to end? Okay. I don't have but about 500 of them, but this, no, I don't have that many. Praise relationship is something that we're going to praise the Lord. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah means what?
Praise
the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you raise a hallelujah when it's dark. Not just when it's light. You raise a hallelujah when it's dark, when everything is like, and you're just saying, praise the Lord. Well, I can't praise the Lord for that. I didn't say praise the Lord for that. I said praise the Lord in that. In everything, not for everything. In everything, give thanks. Our relationship should be one that's one of praise. And those seven Hebrew words for praise, we've talked about that. We ought to be able to do those. Yeah, but it looks a little funny. Who's looking? Who are you doing it for? Well, the person behind me may think I'm crazy. They already know that. I mean, you believe in a God that you've never seen before. To them, that's crazy. They already know that. Don't hold back your praise just because somebody's looking. And let me say this. Don't do your praise just because somebody's looking. Are they watching yet? Yeah, they're watching you. Let me know when they stop watching. Okay, they're through. All right. See, I know it's funny, but it's true. See, the Pharisees did it. They only did it out in public. Why? To be seen of man. They prayed out in public. Why? To be seen and heard of man. A devoted relationship. Paul said, I'm afraid that just as the serpent beguiled Eve, Adam and Eve, in the garden, that you too would be deceived from your simple devotion in Christ. Just simply being devoted to Christ. I said, I'm afraid, Paul says, I'm afraid that you too will be deceived away from just being simply devoted to Jesus Christ. And it's true. So many people, it's just not a devotion for them. I'm not devoted to this. You know how you're devoted to something? When it gets hard, you keep on doing it. A devoted relationship. It has to be a relationship that's a love relationship. That you, the love that he gives you, you give it back to him. It has to be a love relationship. It has to be a confident relationship to come boldly into his presence. We need to be a confident people to go before God. Even when we need help. Even when we've done wrong. Run to him. With confidence. See, we've been taught in the church. I was taught in the church, you know, that when I was little, God was so mad at me every time I came in, and sometimes I didn't even do anything, but yet he's still mad. Well, you do that, God's going to get you. Well, God get me. And it was a wrong fear of God. I was afraid of God. I was afraid of relating to him. Why? Because legalism. Everything was legalism. A legalistic approach to God is bondage. But we have to have a confident relationship. He is who he says he is. We are who he says we are. Right? A confident relationship. One that we can go boldly before the throne of, before the throne of grace. That's a relationship. How about a life relationship? One that produces life and life abundantly. God is the only one that I know that has the abundant life. God has the overflow of abundance. Say that. God has the overflow of abundance. The devil has a budget. All right, I'll let y'all think on that just a little bit. Life relationship. The next one is a trust relationship. You have to be able to trust him. He said what he said, you have to be able to trust him. Yes or no?
Yes.
This is what he said, and this is what we're going to go do. This is what he said, and this is what I'm going to stand. This is where I'm going to stand. Everybody said, this is where I'm going to stand. It has to be a relationship that is righteous. It's a righteous relationship. You have a righteous relationship because he made you righteous. So you need to think of your righteousness. His righteousness is in you, in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you of your righteousness. Even when you start to do something wrong, he's not convicting you of sin. He convicts the world of sin. But he convicts the believer of righteousness. Oh, I love God, don't you? All right, obedient relationship. In other words, you have to be able to not just hear what he said, but you have to go do what he says. What would you say about your relationship with your child if you used to go tell him to go do something and he said, nah, don't know that I'll do that. Never mind, some of you are doing that. It's okay. I've told some of them, I said, let me have them for about a month. Well, you're old school. And I said, no, I'm his school. I'm his school. The Bible actually says when there's something that is wrong and it goes unpunished, and it goes unpunished, that rebellion will begin to set in. The Bible doesn't say spoil the rod and spare the rod and spoil your child. It's quoted that way a lot. No. The Bible says he that spareth his rod hates his son. Everybody say hates his son. You spare discipline, you hate him. That's what the Bible says. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the word. Why? Because it's going to cost you to do what the word says. I knew I shouldn't have went there. Victorious relationship. In other words, you live out of victory. You don't live for victory. You live from victory. You are more than conquerors. He's got a real sorry attitude. Well, that's true. But the truth is, he's more than a conqueror. He's just not walking in that. The truth is, he's more than a conqueror. Y'all getting that? Truth. If he grabs hold of that truth, he'll be free from this bad attitude. A covenant relationship. I'm going to teach on covenant. I don't know when, but I'm going to teach on covenant. It's very important. We have to understand a covenant. When you don't, he does. That's covenant. When you don't, he does. When you won't, he will. Okay. Presence relationship, it has to be the abiding presence of God, the presence of God. Everybody say the presence of God. Live with the consciousness of his presence. We talked about the presence of God before. Identity relationship. Identify with his death, his burial, his stripe. You start identifying with everything that he said that you are. With who you are. With who he is. Because when we see ourselves the other way, we're not in agreement. Once again, we're not in agreement with what he says about us. If you're always conscious of the sin, of the wrong, of the falling short, of all of this stuff that we're doing over here, if that's all you're consciousness about, if that's all you're thinking about, then that's what you're going to live up to. You're going to become what you behold. So the Bible says you will become what you behold. So you need to start beholding his righteousness that he's given you. You got to be conscious of the fact that he's always with you. Identity relationship, fellowship relationship, just fellowshipping. You can't walk in darkness and fellowship with him. Because he has no fellowship with darkness. He'll fellowship in the light. So you and I have to walk in the light. Amen? This is a relationship. This is how we relate to our God. What's next? Grace relationship, not law. Not checking off the things that, okay, I'm done. Yeah. No, it's grace. Everybody say it's grace. It's an empowerment to be able to fulfill what he said for us to be able to do. That's grace. See, we need a grace relationship, not a grace-filled relationship, not a relationship of law that you have to go into, well, do my checklist. Because if you leave one off of your checklist, guess what? You've missed the mark. Y'all ready to laugh? Mark Churchill was not here a few weeks ago. And I told somebody, I missed the mark. Keep to your day job, Terry. Justified relationship. I'm justified before God, just as if I have not sinned. I'm justified. If you walk around here with a guilt conscience all the time, you're not walking in the light of who he is and who he said you are. Everybody say justified.
Justified.
See, when you walk around and you're not justified, your relationship's not going to be exactly what it needs to be. I've got to hurry. Sanctified relationship. In other words, you're set apart to go do what it is that God wants you. You're set apart. Everybody say, I'm set apart. I'm set apart for his purpose. I'm sanctified, set apart. It's a humble relationship. You're not going to be able to do anything with God, you know, if you're full of pride. I heard Francis Frenchman say one time he came into a city, and they said, we need to know what, he'd been with them a day or two, so we need to know what spirit it is that's really holding us back. And Francis was very bold with him. He said, I can tell you that. He said, well, what spirit is it so we can go to work? He said, it's the spirit of God. Why do you say? He said, you got too much pride here. God said he will oppose the proud. Just get prideful. and see how far we go. Mm-mm, down. It's a humble relationship. It's a thankful relationship. Everybody say, thank God. Thank God. Everybody's got something to thank God, and we ought to be a grateful people. We ought to be a people with gratitude in our hearts. We need to have a son and daughter relationship. Sons of God, daughters of God. Yes or no? Yes. You ought to be conscious of the fact that you're a son or daughter of God. You're his child. Don't be walking around here thinking you're adopted. You're not adopted. Okay. Friend relationship. He doesn't call you slave. He calls you what?
Friend.
Is that it? Nope. One more. Sacrificial relationship. Do you know that's a word that's missing in the church today is sacrifice? You're going to have to give up something to go somewhere. You're going to have to give up something to find this. You're going to have to give up this to find that. People are not willing to give up. People are not willing to make a sacrifice in order to get more that God wants us to experience. Sacrificial. It's a joyful relationship. When you have joy, you'll easily make the sacrifice. It's got to be a joyful relationship. It's got to be one that's open heavens. We talked about the open heavens. It's a relationship that the heavens are open. We have access to heaven. When we don't see that we have access to heaven and heaven has access to us, then we're not going to be able to do the things that God wants. Why? Because we're not relating to him that way. Kingdom relationship. He's the king. We're the people. Every king, every kingdom has a king. And every kingdom has subjects that are subject to the king. So in all of this, you can look through all this thing with your relationship with God, and you can look and say, God, here's where I need to apply more of your word and more of myself to your word. Here's where I need to work. It's not about works. It's about your faith in what he says. And then works comes out of your faith. Works will always come out of your faith. Unless you're working in order to attain, then you're working from the wrong direction. Okay. Yes, stand to your feet. See, he told us, he said, behold, I give you authority. And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Say this, I have been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, our relationship with him will actually substantiate that verse in our living. When that happens, you'll be able to see that you have authority over the power of the enemy. Do you want that?
Yes.
Then build your relationship with God as he wants you to do it. Not as religion wants you to do it. Start a relationship with God that is fresh, that is new, that is taking in account all of these things as we relate to him. And this is not all. This is just a few things that God gave me. But he wants us to have a relationship with him that is from the word of God. And sometimes it doesn't need to come from a denomination because a denomination can get all twisted up. And it's about relationship with him. Grab somebody's hand. Today is a new day for you and me. Today is a new day. Today is a day, really, today is a day that our relationship begins to flourish because we've heard the word. And we want to drink the word. And we want to be able to eat the word. And we want to be able to do what he wants us to do. And in the process of doing that, the enemy will tremble at what you are becoming. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you today for your people. I thank you today for your word. And I pray, God, that we will come out of this room today with a fresh vigor a freshness of who you are in our heart, that we will begin to take the time, to redeem the time, to establish our relationship with you as you say you want it with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.